Testing, testing, 1, 2, 3. Testing, testing.
Now, just reiterating that this is an area for respect, and I do expect that to happen in this chamber. Okay, point of order.
Madam Chair, I'd like to make an explanation, personal explanation.
This is not the time for doing that. Something that you wish to say at the end of the meeting.
Well, no.
I wish to say it now.
There are 70 workers
order.
Here. There are 70 workers here.
Order.
Why can't I make this statement?
Order.
The place is in chaos.
Yeah. It's not on the agenda. It's not a matter on the business agenda for tonight.
Well, I'm seeking an explanation.
That can be dealt with under questions without notice. And yes, Councillor Crossland.
I'd like to raise a code of conduct to be dealt with now for disrespectful behaviour.
So a regulation 29, is that what your interruption of a meeting by a member?
Yes, please.
All right. So, Councillor
Crossland. We live in Australia. It's a free country.
Councillor Crossland, so the regulation 29 of the Local Government Act, procedures at meetings, regulations on the basis that Councillor Kerry has disrupted the meeting, or do you have any other wording you want for that last part?
No, that's exactly what I'm saying.
Okay. I will allow Councillor Kerry to make a personal explanation on this, but only this, on why he has interrupted the meeting.
Look, Madam Chair, I just want to make a statement. The place is in chaos. 70 out of the 85 workers walked out several weeks ago. They're angry. They're angry about being attacked by Mayor Haddo.
Point of order has been called.
Councillor Kerry is continuing the disrespectful behaviour. That is not a statement of why he's being disrespectful to the Chair and to other councillors.
I will uphold the point of order. That is true. So unless you can keep your statement to be more to the point, then thank you, Councillor Kerry. You'll be asked to leave.
I feel that I'm trying to be gagged here. I mean, I've asked a number of occasions to ask Mayor Hannah to explain whether or not, explain why he spent $5 million on the Oaklands Crossing. And we've spent $5 million...
Councillor Kerry, I'll again stop you because this is not on the agenda for tonight, that item. I'll just read the governance rulings on your right to speak, and it must be matters listed on the agenda regarding motions and questions on notice tonight. I can accept a motion or a question without notice, but you've not actually given us the subject matter that you want to raise in your statement. So if you can give us a succinct explanation of what you want to talk about, we can then consider that.
I would like to talk about the state of affairs in Marion Council. I'm seeking an explanation. I don't want to be gagged. I don't want to be threatened with COVID.
Councillor Kerry, we're going to have
If anybody thinks that I'm going to be
gagged, order.
My grandfather...
Order!
So, members, through the Chair, can I please provide some clarity to the meeting? So under the Local Government Act, it is very clear that matters of business for discussion within a council meeting need to be listed on the agenda with reports attached. Members can also bring motions without notice, which are then at the discretion of the Chair to accept or not based on the guiding principles of the Act. The Act doesn't allow for a free speech from an elected member. It must be associated with a topic. Based on this, what Councillor Kerry is trying to move within the meeting is out of order and cannot be allowed under the meeting regulations.
All right, so Councillor Kerry, to move on with the Code 29, we have to ask you to leave the room. Thank you.
So you're trying to gag debate. It's a free country.
You are asked to leave the meeting. Thank you, Councillor Kerry. Councillor Kerry, order.
Yeah.
All right, now the regulation 29, we have moved by Councillor Crossland. Reg 29, do I have a seconder for that? Councillor Telfer? All right, would you like to talk to that? Thank you, Councillor Crossland.
Look, I'd like to say that we've tried to deal with this in a number of ways. Quite clearly the way of just letting Councillor Kerry carry on saying what he wants to do and do nothing about it is not working. Quite clearly he's been disrespectful. I feel he's been disrespectful particularly to the new chair, which I'm not happy about, and to all councillors, and I'd like to move that we should deal with this matter today. My preference would be to censure and to suspend him for the rest of the meeting.
Thank you, Councillor Crossland. Councillor Telfer?
In supporting the motion, the CEO is the only person that can work with and on staff matters. We have one employer, and that's the CEO.
Thank you. Now, just to make it very clear, what we have to do here, that the elected member had to leave the meeting while the matter is considered. So we had to decide what was to be done. Councillor Crossland's put it into the motion that we just get those correct wording. Censured and suspended for the rest of the meeting, correct? Anyone speaking against the motion? Councillor Hull.
Madam Mayor, what we're experiencing, not only tonight but on an ongoing basis, and before I thought it was some sort of personal thing with Mayor Hannah, is inappropriate. However, I'm speaking against it because we're just going to make a martyr out of this fellow. A fellow that is unworthy of martyrdom in this regard, a former Liberal Party candidate for the seat of Blaxland in New South Wales, former trade union official, so there's a bit of a conjecture there to start with. Make what you want of that. And I heard an elected member say to the boys as they left, they're being used. And I think there's an element of truth in that. I've been here a long time, and I've dealt with a number of CEOs and a lot of staff at the depot, and I believe in the past I've been quite well regarded at the depot. But by coming here and disrupting my workplace on a regular basis is not endearing me to their cause. They're lessening their cause by coming here like this and using Councillor Kerry as their foghorn. It's not going to work with me. However, making a martyr out of Kerry is not something I'm going to be a part of. I think that this is an enduring, probably agonising... Sorry, the phone comes through my iPad, guys, so I can't stop it. Shut it, maybe. Yeah, it's Roger Rashid ringing me. Sorry. I hope you can see where I'm coming from. I really think that by actually going down this track, and not for 1 minute am I going to criticise Councillor Crossland for doing this. We probably shouldn't be surprised. However, is this the smartest way? is this the smartest way from a diplomatic mission with the men and women at our depot to manage this? I don't think that this is the smartest way. And I really think that we've got to actually ignore both the attendance of these chaps at our meetings on a regular basis and Councillor Kerry's trumpeting of their cause. I think a fair day's pay for a fair day's work is what our outlook should be. We are going to our community saying that we're putting downward pressure on our wages to keep our rates low. This is all part of it. It's not to actually compromise these people. As I understand it, what we're offering is more than the state public service.
Point of order.
That's 3 minutes, Councillor Hull.
Right.
So,
okay.
Have
well,
you finished?
I think I've made my point, but...
Right. Point of order has been called too.
I just want to make it known loud and clear that their cause is being lessened by their attendance here. Councillor Kerry's doing them no favours, and it really is a very extraordinary situation in my term on this council.
Councillor Crossland, you had a point of order.
I think he's managed to talk his way through it, but basically this is not about anything to do with the staff being here. It's or anyone's cause or what they were trying to say. It's about their actual inappropriate, disruptful and disrespectful behaviour.
Councillor Gard.
Your Worship, if I may speak in favour of the motion, I agree with the very thoughtful words of Councillor Hull, almost verbatim. However, it's not appropriate to contravene what we should do due to the image that it may present or not present to somebody. That's not appropriate for any of us in this room. The only thing that saves democracy is sticking by the rules of democracy. The member has spoken of freedom of speech, and it is that very thing, democracy with a capital D, that provides for freedom of speech. And so we have to put it back to that member in expressing the code of conduct that he is going to be better served by looking at the rules of the game as they support our democracy with a little d and a capital D. And in so doing, we need to educate our staff that they are being misled because the member who is supposedly supporting them, maybe for ulterior motive, maybe not, is out of court and is doing them no good, in fact could be doing them harm in the process because the very thing that he is doing is corrupting the processes. And once those two things are understood clearly by the member and clearly by the staff, then we can get back to better grounding for resolution. And I think that those terms need to be put very, very clearly to the member and to the staff.
Councillor Bilisky, you had your hand up. Considering the nature of this matter, I'm going to allow further people to speak if they wish to.
Concerned about a decision or a process, there are avenues to do it. Unfortunately, this isn't the avenue for that to happen. And if someone is upset about an issue, then getting upset at the chair in front of an audience is not an appropriate way to do it. And speaking of the audience, I think I'm very disappointed because we see such good work that is done in our community by staff. But then to have staff booing, and especially guys booing when there's a woman in the chair, the meeting before International Women's Day is a bit disappointing as well. But I think, you know, I think the staff contribute a lot, and I'm happy for them to attend as many meetings as they want, which is see what we do. But please, there does need to be that level of respect. And outsiders who represent those staff
should not be egging them on in that respect. But look, unfortunately, this seems to be an ongoing issue, and because the proper avenues are not being addressed for those concerns that members may have, we do have to show that this sort of behaviour is not acceptable. It's not what our ratepayers expect from us. And what they'll do is they'll read it in the paper, and it'll tarnish us all, it'll tarnish our government, and distract from the work that we've all done, the good work that we've all done in this term.
Thank you, Councillor Velescu. Councillor Westwood.
Just briefly, yes, it's unfortunate that Councillor Carey's actions have been disruptive, mostly. I certainly acknowledge the disrespect that people have cited, fair enough, but it's really disruptive, and it doesn't... we need an orderly system to maintain democracy. I agree with those sentiments. And I do. I'm very disappointed that this has taken place, but I think that we do have to take action as we see fit now, and not be so concerned about the political ramifications. Thank you.
Does anyone else wish to speak? Then I move. You've already had your 3 minutes. Sorry.
I'm being gagged.
I will let Councillor Crossland close.
Thank you, Deputy Mayor. I think really everyone's really made all the points that have been made, so I'm happy to leave it at that.
I'll put the motion. All those in favour? Those against? The motion is carried. Been put in, but I'm giving the 10-year certificate tonight. So if you could come forward, Mr. Ellen. Thank you.
I actually want to note that in the 20 years that I've been in local government, I can sincerely say that this group of councillors and staff as a whole are the most talented group that I've worked with. Now, I don't want to go back to past mayors and past elected members and say that, but I do feel that as a group very, very strongly. And I feel also, I went through the handful of things, more than a handful of things, that we as an elected body for this 4 years have achieved, and I would put up there, some of them I'll forget some, but I would put up there Heron Way Reserve, Glandor Laneways, Edwardstown, Morfettville and Plimpton Park, the Touched by Olivia and the Allied Plaza, Oaklands Crossing, Marion Streetscape, the lowest rates in 15 years, and the starting on the asset and project management. And in my other handful for next term, for whoever's here, I would put starting perhaps in the south, the BMX, the soccer, the coastal walkway, the Seaview High School tennis courts as part of the tennis court and netball facilities. And I would list also the lighting throughout the whole of the city and the solar cells on public buildings. I would think about Mitchell Park and the what we heard of the amphitheatre, the indoor sports area that might be related to that. I think about today we had news about Tonsley Station and its linking. So with Oaklands Crossing probably being the standout of the whole group in what we're achieving, we've been a council that's got things done over 4 years, and there's still a big bag of things that are planned that will actually come into fruition in the next 4 years.
Yes, thank you, Raylene. A lot has been achieved. All right, so we're moving on to confirmation of minutes. So this is for the General Council meeting held on the 13th of February this year. Do I have someone to move that, please? Councillor Gard, a seconder. Councillor Velescu. All those in favour? Carried unanimously. All right, communication reports, and we'll do them en bloc. Do I have someone to move those reports? Sorry, I missed the hands there. Councillor Hutchinson and was it Councillor Gard? Seconding? Was it? Oh, Crossland, sorry. Councillor Crossland. All right. All those in favour of the communication reports? That's carried unanimously. All right, so we move on to the verbal communications. So just wish to just refresh everyone's memories on where we're at with verbal communications. The elected members, you have the right to speak for up to 2 minutes, and this is our second meeting of the month. The purpose of verbal communications is to allow elected members to report to this meeting your activities over the past 2 months. Types of activities to be included in reports are those attended by elected members in their representative or civic capacity only. Examples of this include citizen ceremonies, meetings with external bodies attended as council liaison, meetings with residents, training sessions attended. So I now open the floor to who would like to give a verbal communication this month. Councillor Gard.
Your Worship, I had the great pleasure of being at probably the most productive meeting in several years that I've been to of the Metropolitan Seaside Councils Forum, for which I'm actually a proxy. There is probably fair reason to say that it's been a toothless tiger up until now, but I'm very pleased to report to all members, as reported by email, but I want this to go public, that some motions were put to the floor last Thursday that is going to no end strengthen the local government push towards coastal protection done properly and formally, by the creation of an alliance between the regional local government entities, including the regional LGAs, and the LGA and the Metropolitan Seaside Council, or the Metropolitan Councils at large, really, but the Metropolitan Seaside Councils in earnest. And the point of this is that it will be a much better conduit, the alliance, into state and federal government, and will have the effect of being a profound voice with profound data, with the support of the Coastal Protection Board and the Department of Engineering, Water and Natural Resources. These entities together will really make some inroads. There is a great deal of substance already documented, but it simply has to find the road into the ears that count. So I'm delighted to have been part of that.
Thank you, Councillor Gard. Anyone else? Councillor Telfer?
I attended Audit Committee this morning, and at Audit Committee we looked at the Customer Service Report, which is in your Audit Committee agendas, but because it is deep and because service delivery is at the heart of everything we do, I'm really keen when the minutes come back next meeting that you each get a hard copy of this and that we actually take a little bit of time as we receive those minutes maybe to actually make comment or actually own all the material and work that's been done in this, because it's very hefty. It's a hefty document with lots in it about service delivery.
Thank you, Councillor Telfer. I will second everything you've said with that. I was at the meeting as well, and there is so much in there that we do need to really devour and look at. Thank you. Councillor Hull.
Thank you. Recently I attended a meeting of the Raja Committee that was convened by Council across the road at Club Marion. It's well attended by Council staff, and Roger Rashid himself was there and a facilitator, and along with a number of concerned residents. So the outcome of that one was one of going forward with Roger Rashid and the community to actually keep that project going with minimal expenditure, and to actually facilitate the transition that that area is going to go through soon with Renewal SA and a not-for-profit organisation I can't recall. So it's an award-winning project. It's something the council's been recognised for a number of times over the years, and it's probably been going now probably 12 years, I would think, something like that. And it really is a great example of community empowerment and turning an area around that was once a relative wasteland and unkept and undervalued by the individuals living around that area. So I'll keep you posted on that as we go forward. And there is a question on notice in the agenda tonight on that subject, and the answers from the staff do speak volumes about the people we're dealing with down there on a national scale. On a national scale. They are doing it tough. Touched by Olivia, I'm really chuffed to hear about the DIPTI grant application that will see that completed. I believe there's an article in the Messenger Advertiser today. I haven't been able to read it yet, but I did take it upon myself once I heard of the grant to ring the Touch by Executive Officer in Sydney, and she wasn't aware of it. She was elated.
Yep.
And it'll be the first one in South Australia, and I think this will actually in closing, Madam Deputy Mayor, this will actually overtake Jervoy Street in community recognition. I really think that this is going to be a really good accolade for us. And above all, it will actually finally address a need in our community for disabled kids.
Thank you. Anyone else wanting to talk? So thank you for those. That's very good to have those reports from different meetings and groups. Thank you. We move on to committee recommendations. So we've got two committees, the Infrastructure and Strategy Committee minutes and the Review and Selection Committee minutes. They can be moved en bloc. Councillor Hutchinson, seconded Councillor Pryor. Is there any, yes, a question or is...
Just a question, Madam Deputy Mayor. In regards to the Infrastructure and Strategy Committee, we've got excellent input from our independent member there, Christian, and he actually raised a very good point in that meeting about our LED lighting rollout and how the smart city quest of our city can be picked up in that. As a consequence of that, I did contact the CEO, and I'm just wondering if CEO could briefly advise Council what we can possibly look forward to in a report that might come to us very soon, just without giving too much away.
Thank you, Chair. I think it's probably best that I detail it in a report and send it out to all elected members, but we are certainly talking with SAGE, and we're going to be doing a pilot program to on some of the LED lights to put the capacity to do some of the smart stuff on it and to see how it goes. It is expensive, but the outcome that we'll get from, you know, really making our city smart through the use of the technology that's available is extraordinary. So what we'll do is, with your permission, we'll put something out in a report to elected members.
Thank you. Do the mover and seconder want to say anything? No? Okay, I put the motion. All those in favour? That's carried unanimously. Thank you. Corporate reports for decision. So we're looking at Travis Street Reserve and its amendment of a resolution. Oh, sorry, I missed the confidential items. Sorry, take that back. We go back to confidential items. So I do ask the public to leave the chamber. Who have we got sort of staying? Oh, sorry, someone moved that we go into confidence. Councillor Crossland, seconded Councillor Westwood. Okay. All those in favour? Yes. Carried unanimously. We're moving into confidence. So we have two items tonight. Doors shutting. I want to get a mover and seconder first. So I want someone to move the motion. Councillor Hutchinson, seconded by Councillor Telfer. All right. Do you wish to speak to the motion, Councillor Hutchinson?
The history of it is the tree. I assume you've all read it. And this is a way I think Councillor Telfer and I feel that we can move forward on it. We've got a resolution of council to dispose of the land. I think it's just high time we get on and do it now. It's unfortunate that we didn't get the outcome we were seeking with the tree. It may mean a slight loss to the community in the long run financially, but in the short term we get a decent gain and we can move forward and put that back into community assets.
Councillor Telfer.
This started about 8 years ago and has been on the ward books for 8 years. It was a land swap and we got the lesser of the deals with Housing SA, I believe, and we now get to a point where we get to resolution. I don't willingly give up land and tree, but it was a land swap, and so I think if a genuine land swap, at this point we need to get to the end of it.
Just before I ask someone else to speak, I just need to point out the red writing there wasn't in the original motion on your agendas. I believe Councillor Westwood asked that be made clearer with those words in there. I need to ask Councillor Hutchinson and Councillor Telfer. Councillor Hutchinson?
It's actually not formally part of the reserve as such. It's actually land that was gifted to us by Housing SA. So it's not actually, we're not actually carving up the reserve and logging it at this point.
So you'd like those words taken off on your motion?
No, I think we just keep it to the original
motion.
If that's okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, question from Councillor Hull. Sorry, Councillor Hull, I'm back to you.
Right, well, Madam Deputy Mayor, Councillor Hutchinson's probably answered the question that in relation to this proposal, the tree's going to go. So that's been answered, so I'll take that on board.
Thank you, that's why we're doing this order, so hopefully that happens. Yes. Councillor Westwood, is it a question or...
It's clarification, following clarification? On from my... effort to have it clarified. Motions are formal legal expressions, as far as I understand, and really I think the motion should be tied to some kind of foolproof description of the block or the area that's being sold. So I would ask that something be put in there to define exactly what is being sold. I don't think it's reasonable to tell the community we're selling 680 square metres of land. Am I missing something? Thank you. That's all. Thank you, Madam.
So we need to somehow have the formal title of that block of land, is what I'm hearing. Councillor Hutchinson, we can't? It's only one portion of that title. So how do we make it very clear as to what piece of land we are talking about? Okay, because currently we've just got a residential allotment of 680 square metres, but we don't say where it is.
That residential allotment was made part of the reserve. So in the land swap, it was made as part of the reserve. So therefore, it's not a separate portfolio or volume or title. It's part of that reserve.
Please reinsert those words.
All right, Councillor Telfer, you would like to talk to that?
We could say on the westerly side, on the west, the most west block. In Travis Street, or at Travis Street Reserve.
Yep.
I don't know what else to do.
To the west of.
Now, the mover and seconder, are you happy with that wording? All right. With the leave of the meeting, is everyone in agreement to that change of wording? Okay. As outlined in appendix, would that be better than trying to say exactly south or west?
Well, it was actually better defined in GC09147R04 of the 9th of December 2014,
yep.
So we can refer to that meeting item number and say portions of land identified at that meeting because it was clearly identified there.
That's a good point. Thank you, Councillor Hutchinson. Is it a question, Councillor Hull? Speaking against, yes?
Mrs. Deputy Mayor, I think this photo speaks for itself. This is what we want to cut down.
No.
Well, I asked the question. I specifically asked the question, the tree is going to go, and everybody seemed to agree that that was the case. Right. Yeah, but in the reports, it says that you can't actually build anything so close to the tree. So this is a bit of a sleight of hand here. Right, well, how come I made the point of asking the question, will the tree go? And what was my answer? Right, so can I come back to that question? Will the tree remain, and will it remain in a position where it can remain healthy without having a tree built underneath it, and then in 3 months' time, the new occupant saying, oh, the branches might fall on my house and injure my children. Is that what we're dealing with here?
Can I just ask for clarification from you, Councillor Hull? I don't remember that question being asked tonight. Are you referring to the previous time in those words?
The tape's going to be interesting, but...
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, I asked the question, will this tree remain or go? And the answer was that it was going to go. Even in the presentation by the mover, he said the tree was going to go.
Sorry, I don't remember Councillor Hutchinson saying
point,
that.
Point of order.
It is selling of the land
that?
As one block instead
replay.
Of two, which was
we'll
previously done. Councillor Villescu. Yes.
Right. So we're selling. So we're selling the block with the. We're selling the block and the tree.
Yes, the tree comes with the block.
For
it's
free.
A package. Yes.
Right. So what we're doing is offloading this so somebody else can cut it down. Well, I'm just concerned that we've seen this happen time again with developers, and we say no to developers, but we're actually doing this little sleight of hand ourselves. So we actually allow a house to be built pretty much underneath it, and as I said, in a month or two's time, the new owner, will say, those branches are falling on my house, the tree needs to go.
Okay.
So this is the bit of massage going on here, and I'm uncomfortable with it, because ultimately the tree will go.
Councillor Hull, I hear you and understand what you're saying. We all know with our heat mapping that we want to keep as many trees as possible. It's an education process. Unfortunately, that is not what we're voting on tonight. We are voting on selling that block of land, not two blocks, as we're trying to do last year. One block of land now, and that will have to go through whatever developer or whoever buys it.
Okay, Madam Mayor, I just think that there's a little bit of a sleight of hand going on here, and the tree ultimately will suffer for it. I don't think we should be in the business of selling this tree. The tree's an asset. The tree's an asset as much as the land. And look at it. It's a beautiful, beautiful gum tree. It doesn't get much better. So for that reason alone, I'd say no. Now, this last time this was dealt with, the media covered this because we were actually going to do something that we actually often tell developers you can't do. In other words, cut the tree down because we need the dough from the sale of the land. Now, all we're doing is just being a bit more sophisticated about it, and it's a big no from me. And woe betide us, if we actually say yes to this tonight, there'll be a candidate out there for the state election who'll jump on this and be all over it in no time.
Can we please clarify, because there have been some points raised in the discussion, so someone can clarify exactly what we're selling, exactly where people will be able to build. So we need to obviously cut. Well then. But as far as the issue is, how close can someone build? Is the concern that Councillor Hull has something that has grounds for us to be concerned about? My question.
For anyone to develop on that site, they have to build within the tree protection zone. They have to keep clear of that, so the tree is protected in that regard. We have been through the process of looking at many options for how we could protect the tree as well as how we could maximise the return to council. Yes, someone could actually build on there and then at the required distance, and then they could remove the tree.
Clarification, please. When this, or if, or when this block is sold, or this land is sold, how is it going to be described? And I presume it has to be formally described. And if that's so, I would like to see that formal description in a motion before we actually authorise the disposal of the land. I think that's very reasonable. And if it's not available tonight, I would propose that we delay this until that information is available so we can actually concisely, precisely describe what land we are selling. I'm sure people in the community would want to know that. Thank you.
Through the Chair, unfortunately, because there isn't a specific title created for this allotment, we would usually put the title details in the resolution. One option would be that you refer to, as identified in Appendix, I think it's Appendix 1 in the report, could be one way of being clear what is being sold, and that it would be sold as a residential allotment.
Last question from Councillor Westwood.
Well, I'd have to move an amendment, and that is that this be agreed to in principle, and that the final authority to proceed is only given when a formal description...
Councillor Westwood, if you're moving an amendment, that's not a question. Well, it's not a question if you're moving an amendment.
Yeah, well, that's what I was just saying.
Point of order, Your Worship.
Thank you. Yes, Councillor Hutchins.
The amendment is ultra vires because the creation of the allotment cannot occur until we authorise staff to create the allotment.
That's correct. Yes, we can't. So I will allow a question from Councillor Crossland now.
Yeah, thank you. It's a question to staff through the Chair.
I've read the report. It's fairly transparent. It's fairly easy to understand. My understanding is that we applied through the council assessment panel to see if that tree could be removed. They refused twice. So we have decided to sell the allotment as one whole allotment. The person that buys the allotment can build one house and live on 680 square metres with the tree, or they may choose to build a house and then subsequently have a go themselves through the council assessment panel to remove the tree. That's an independent process. As Councillor Hull is well aware, council don't have an involvement in that process, and if they succeed in doing something we can't, then that's down to their skills, not ours. The question was just to confirm my interpretation of... I've summarised it, but tried to simplify it.
That is correct. Thank you.
Can I ask a question? How much is the tree? Is there a value placed in the tree that we're selling? It's an asset.
State the question again, please.
The tree is a council asset. How much is the tree valued at? The CEO made it clear recently that trees have a value. I'd like to know what we're selling and how much that tree is valued at.
Through the chair, we'd have to take that on notice. Okay, is there anyone else speaking against? No, then I put them... Oh, sorry, I'll allow Councillor Hutchinson. No. We'll put the motion. All those in favour? Those against? Division? Those in favour, please stand. So those in favour are Councillor Telfer, Hutchinson, Pryor, Belisku, Appleby, Gard, Crossland and Byram. Those against are Hull and Westwood. Thank you. You may be seated. So the motion was carried. Now, moving on to the Indigenous Land Use Agreement conclusion on page 43. So do I have someone to move that motion? Councillor Crossland, seconded Councillor Westwood. Councillor Crossland, could you also outline an option for point two, please?
Yeah, I've already sent through to staff some extra words to the motion I'm moving, which... who seconded it?
Councillor Westwood.
That Councillor Westwood hasn't seen yet, so if they could be just put up and then he could have a look whether he does want to second it still.
All right, so would you like to talk to the motion now? Thanks, Councillor Crossland.
Thank you, Deputy Mayor. This is a great extra amount of cash that's coming back to the city. I've added an alternative to this motion in that this is a great opportunity for us to invest not only for the Kaurna people but for the community in general at Warraparinga and the Living Kaurna Cultural Centre. One of the things that the committee at the LKCC have requested, and it's something which other community visitors to that site have requested, is a usable barbecue area. For $12,000 that would give us a barbecue area, and I think this is a great way of seeing that come to fruition and something for everybody to use. And the elders at the LKCC are in support of this.
Councillor Westwood, do you wish to speak to it?
Oh, just as disappointing if this has had to... the money's had to come back to us because of the failure of the negotiations. But other than that... I think it sounds very sensible to use the money in a constructive way for the Aboriginal Cultural Centre area. Thanks.
So a question for Councillor Crossland. Are you referring to, with the barbecue there, the item that was on our new initiatives list on unfunded?
It was for a time on our unfunded initiatives, but this way it can come off and then we don't have to consider it.
Okay. Now, anyone speaking against the motion? Wish to move an amendment, Councillor Gard?
Your Worship, I feel rather uncomfortable about the way this has ended up in an unqualified sense to Council. It could be that other parties are aware of where the negotiation broke down, and it could be that the negotiations are confidential at certain levels at least. However, if it is at all possible, I would like to move that a third point be put to the motion, that we inquire as to where particularly negotiations fell down and that we regret that they did fall down, because I think we all have in mind resolution here. If it can't be met after 10 years, that's a sad fact, but it is a fact.
Deputy Mayor, I'm not sure that the agreement has
I think before we put that motion, let's just have an answer from staff on the situation with that before we go any further. I will point out, Councillor Gard, that the letter that did come through from the President of the LGA, it was with advice from a legal firm as to this, how this has all gone about, so it is in your agenda.
Deputy Mayor, point of order.
Yes.
It concerns me that even the administration don't seem to be across this. My understanding is that there has been an offer made to the Kaurna people. They're considering it, and the matter is not finalised. It was actually in the Advertiser, I think, yesterday or the day before. So, you know, I don't think that it's the failure that we can understandably interpret from the information provided to us. I actually questioned this on social media only yesterday to be told that, you know, chill out, thanks for your concern. We are working, going forward with this. So the LGA's interpretation of this is not a true reflection of what's going on.
Through the Chair. So the report that the Council's considering now is around the ILURA, so the Indigenous Land Use Agreement with Kaurna, which has been a long-standing negotiation commencing in 2005. Unfortunately, those negotiations have ceased and no agreement was met with that because no, you know, parties couldn't reach agreement. There is the other matter that was in the Weekend Advertiser, which is the native title claim, which has been a long-standing claim from the Kaurna people. They are in the process of reaching settlement, as reported in the Advertiser, and that is a means to address native title that's being followed through. So the ILURA was one way of addressing native title, a way that councils could address it, but agreement hasn't been met with that. But it doesn't mean that the native title claim is not still in existence. It is, and there's a settlement process happening.
That is part of the process, yes. And I think from people who have been at the LKCC meetings, there's a bit more understanding of that processing. And the barbecue is one thing that I know that the local people do want as something moving forward through this. You have another question, Councillor Gard?
Well, just regarding the appropriateness of my proposed amendment, I just feel that there's some context missing, and that context missing could affect the spirit of the expenditure of the 9,000 and something that has been refunded. And I think the way that we deploy that 9,000 should be sensitive, and it should be sensitive to what has been lost in agreement in some way. And hence, I just feel that if we haven't got the information on the precise reason for negotiations falling through, which seems to be due to disagreement at the legal level, judging by what we read in the agenda, then we should have explanation.
So we just need to clear up those monies that were provided for this was to negotiate the agreement. That's what the money was for. And now that that's finished, those negotiations have ceased, that money is coming back to council.
Well, if I may just respond to your point there, Your Worship, that what I'm saying is that, yes, we understand from all correspondence that negotiations have ceased on the basis that they failed, but that it would be useful for the purpose of context to know why they failed and how to express the, inverted commas, gift that we may be making in some way, shape or form to the Kaurna people with that refund. I think it's important to join the two together.
Thank you, Councillor Gard. So,
through the Chair, acknowledge what Councillor Gard is saying as well. We can, if Council wants, is get someone who was closest in negotiations to come to reform to brief members on. What members could do tonight, if you want to recognise the importance of reconciliation and that it hasn't, Council could acknowledge its ongoing commitment to reconciliation with the Kaurna people, given the Illawarra, one of the objectives was around reconciliation as well.
So, Councillor Gard, can we now look at your wording for your amendment as to what you would like to put in there?
Yes, I'll produce some words and hand them straight up. I accept that opportunity. If it could be done by forum, probably even better. And then we put it into context when we make a move in favour of the Kaurna people.
Councillor Crossland.
Just a clarification. If the wording that Councillor Gard is suggesting comes about, is that not an opposite? One's to build a barbecue and one's not to build?
I don't believe that was his intent, so... Question, Councillor Westwood?
Yeah, Deputy Mayor, should we move on to the next item while those words are being sorted?
We're mid-item, we're not under procedure able to do that.
Oh, okay.
We've got the words now.
Okay.
Sorry, Councillor Velisco, a question?
My question is a little bit on what Councillor Gard was saying. The suggested things we should be spending our money on are more about furthering the cultural aspect of the local Indigenous people. So something on infrastructure seems like it does differ as much as it is something quite worthy for the site. So I'm just I just want to know that that would be okay to move forward.
Perhaps if we could ask Councillor Crossland to comment on that, because he's been at the committee meetings for the LKCC. Are you agreeing to that?
Yeah, I mean, my understanding is that this was something which the LKCC committee was in favour of. It helps people coming together at the site. They can hold formal or informal meetings there with a barbecue area. They have been wheeling out a home barbecue at times, but if you turn up and there's nobody at the LKCC, there is no cooking facilities. So my feeling is that not only would it be great for the Kaurna people, but other people that use the site, and there are quite a few, can use it in an informal meeting place, and we are looking at expanding the facilities there to make it more of a family friendly place, and this would, I would say, add to that cultural feeling of being involved and being able to use that venue.
Question or comment?
Clarification or something. Could I suggest in this, the letter is identified as being sent to LGA. Are we sending it to LGA or someone else? That letter, I think, was from the LGA president.
So the original letter from the LGA stated for us to raise an invoice. Now in this extra point three from Councillor Gard, it is requesting that Council expresses its regret by letter and in doing so seeks an explanation of where negotiations failed. Councillor Hull.
I'm happy to second that, Madam Mayor. It does the trick. I think getting the explanation, a bit more information about this won't hurt. I think you'll find that it's matters that are outside our control, mainly around Cranland, and that's what I've been told anyway by a couple of sources. But it won't hurt to ask the question, so I support that, and Councillor Cosden did run this by me some time ago, and it seems like a good idea. It's not exclusively for Kaurna use, it's anybody down there, it's a great reserve. They do have a wood-fired pizza oven down there, but the barbecue will just complement this really nicely. Food, by the way, is a great way of not only Kaurna people, but all of us, Greeks in particular, love their barbecues, and I love going to their barbecues, to express themselves and to facilitate a coming together. And I'm sure you all know what I mean. So I think that this is good money invested, and I'm sure it'll be well regarded by all concerned down there.
All right, I'd like to put the amendment to the motion. All those in favour? Those against? The motion is carried. No, the amendment to the motion is carried, sorry. All right, so now we have the amended motion. Is there anyone speaking against that motion? Okay, so I'm going to ask Councillor Gard to close. No, sorry. But that was... Okay, I'm just going back a step. This was something that people were arguing about last council meeting, the procedure, so I said I would take that into consideration. It is my decision. I can call it. So, Councillor Gard, you're closing.
Thank you, Your Worship. I think reconciliation is reconciliation, and I think every step that we can take towards it is a worthy one. By being sincere and showing interest where interest needs to be shown in the outcomes of such negotiations is a way forward, even though the actual result for the Kaurna people in this instance wasn't positive. But we can turn something less positive into something more positive, perhaps.
Thank you. All right. I put the motion. All those in favour? Those against? The motion is carried. Thank you. Moving on to the second budget review for 17-18, and that is on page 47. Do I have someone to move the motion? Councillor Velescu, seconder. Councillor Hull? Oh, question. So Councillor Telfer has seconded. Do you wish to talk to the motion, Councillor Velescu? No. Councillor Telfer? Right, question from Councillor Hull.
Just in round terms, the surplus. The surplus that we're dealing with right now in this review process.
Through the chair, on page 47, the cash surplus, which is the key one that's being projected, and I emphasise projected, it's not guaranteed, is $139,000 for this quarter and $165,000 for the full year. So until we get to the end of the year when that we have our results audited, that's when it'll be confirmed.
As I understand it, there's two figures to look at. There's the operating budget, which is somewhat more, and their overruns and budget items we haven't quite completed yet.
Through the chair, no, that's actually not correct. So the way the operating budget takes into consideration things like depreciation, but it doesn't take into consideration the funding that council needs to actually pay for its capital works programs. So they're not included in the operating result. So what the cash budget or the funding result shows you is everything after all of council's commitments, including fully funding the capital works programs.
A question from Councillor Crossland.
Just another one, and apologies if I missed it in the report. But we recently had some announcements of grant funding for various projects around the city, some of which will save the City of Marion funds. Does this budget reflect that money coming into council, or will that money be coming in and change that surplus, as in make it bigger?
Through the chair, at this point in time those funds haven't been received, so we can only take them up as revenue, as grant revenue, when they're received, so they'll be factored in most likely in the third budget review.
Thank you.
Councillor Gard.
Yes, I just have a question, Your Worship, on a couple of large variations. In one case, on page 59, there's the purchase of infrastructure, property, plant and equipment. The second review is $31 million compared with 16-17, $17 million. And just a brief explanation on that, and also contractual services on page 56. There's a variation of some $3 million between the actual of 16-17 and the second review of 17-18. If we could just have a brief line on that.
Through the chair. Obviously, what we're looking at here is the actual results for 16-17 against 17-18. When we talk about the projects for that are in the budget for 17-18, obviously there's different projects. We have got the likes of Edwardstown, which is a major capital project, which will be in 17-18 and 18-19, which is not in 16-17. So that sort of variation has a direct impact on these costs here.
Thank you. And through the chair, is that applying to both of those items, contractual services and IPP?
We'll take contractual services, things like contribution to the LED lighting scheme, which is $1 million. That has a direct impact on the operating contractual services number there. So it depends on what projects are actually going on each year. And obviously, as the capital works and the operating the amount of work planned for this year is quite high compared to even the previous year, that then costs will increase.
Yeah, thank you for the explanation.
All right, anyone speaking against the motion? Then we'll put the motion. All those in favour? Carried unanimously. Right, moving on to the CEO performance and remuneration review timeline and approach. Someone to move the motion? Councillor Gard, seconded Councillor Telfer. Do you wish to speak, Councillor Gard?
Very briefly, I think congratulations are probably in order at large for the CEO. This has been a very challenging entree to the role, and we know only too well as councillors. And so it's not every day that you can deliver overall as well as this under those circumstances. This has not just been a case of normal taking care of business.
Councillor Telfer, would you like to speak? All right. Anyone speaking against the motion? Can I put the motion? All those in favour? Carried unanimously. Thank you. Now, Oaklands Crossing Community Forum, a rescission motion. Yes, Councillor Telfer.
Oh, sorry, it's up in a minute.
Okay, move the motion by Councillor Hull and seconded by Councillor Pryor. Do you wish to speak, Councillor Hull?
Very, very quickly. Isn't it great that we can actually rescind this? It's unnecessary now, obviously. The wheels are in motion with this. I'm not sure who moved or seconded this, and maybe we should get into the habit of actually putting in the minutes of those meetings that we can actually... We used to, years ago, have the minutes of the meeting where these resolutions happened and who moved and seconded and what the vote was. But it's unnecessary now, and we don't have to spend $7,000 from our savings, and we can maybe look at other things we probably should be... I think the strategy of the Oaklands Crossing campaign should indicate to us that we can actually bring about change. We can use advocacy extremely well. It can actually be very much well regarded by our community. Nobody that I know of objected, at least publicly, to us having that campaign. And I think maybe going forward we should start thinking about what we as a group might want to get behind going up to the next federal state election. So I say move.
Thank you, Councillor Hunt. Councillor Pryor? No? Anyone speaking again? Oh, sorry. A question from Councillor Crossland.
Yeah, sorry, through the chair. My question was, were there supposed to be amendments in the last motion that were missing? Because it seems to refer they were, and I didn't know if they were optional. It's just the, so we just chose, there was no options in there. Okay, thank you.
No, nothing was moved. Okay, I put to this current motion on the Oaklands Crossing rescission. All those in favour? That's carried unanimously.
I'm happy for the questions first, if that's all right, Your Worship. Obviously, we do note the general council election signs, but I have concerns about election signs on our city. Candidates, doesn't matter what colour they are, politically, they're not put in the right place. They're not being placed on the right polls. People are... It almost seems like an arms race. You've got ones that are getting wider and taller and then taller and wider, and what looks like two posters gets around the rule by making it look like one, and it's probably just in the guidelines. And then when they cause issues, we have to worry about it. And then we have to be very diplomatic because, believe it or not, people that go for public office sometimes do have egos and take it personally, and you just have all sorts of problems which you shouldn't really need to buy into. I think everyone involved in the political process are only putting them up because everybody else is. So ideally, I wouldn't, I wouldn't like this to be an issue for us. And hopefully, you know, that's something we don't have to worry about in local government. We can get rid of them there as well.
Yes, there have to be rules, there has to be structure within which you work because of the political competition. And I do note that there is a creep, that there were already signs up before 5 o'clock on the appointed day just a week or so ago. So it is a difficult issue, and the whole maintenance of signs is also a difficult issue. But the rules are set out here. All we have to do is get people to comply to them.
Thank you, Your Worship. I've got a question for staff. Is it within our power in this policy to limit the number of signs per candidate per election? Sorry to throw the curveball.
No, we can't restrict how many signs individual candidates put up at all. As long as they're putting them up in the correct spots.
Madam Deputy Mayor, is my front gate one of those places? And I'd like to know if anybody in this room has actually put that up on my front gate. Get it out there.
Through the chair, if it's not with your, without your consent, yeah, it's certainly
suspects
not.
Suspects in the room.
Without your consent, it's certainly not allowed. And under the Litter and Nuisance Act, we can actually expiate to the tune of $315.
No, just generally very, very good results coming through, so that's good for the organisation.
Again, I just commend management for this outcome year to date. And with that, I just ask a brief question, and that is there any single reason for the quite pronounced improvement that we see in Table 1 versus Table 2, for example, on page 83? Because it's just as important to know why the improvement in general as it is any deterioration. So if there is a single reason, I'd be most interested. I'm sure other members would too.
Through the chair, the organisation has certainly spent a lot of time on our work health safety program over the last 2 years. We've changed a number of practices in regards to how we're managing our workplace injuries and ensuring that staff are given the best care and return to work as quickly as possible. We've also had increased, awareness with staff about hazard management reporting and how they're doing that. So we're not tracking things just from our lag indicators, but also the ones that are the preventative measures as well. So there has been a heightened focus over the last 2 years, and this is definitely paying off in regards to our stats and the improvement of our work health safety as a whole for our employees.
Thank you very much. That's very gratifying.
Okay. Councillor Crossland?
Just a question. I'm not sure whether it's just on our iPads or whether it's in the actual report, but the tables are corrupted, and I just wondered if that could be fixed up before they're officially added to the minutes.
Yeah, sorry, through the chair, this also happened last month as well, so unfortunately it's just a formatting matter through the PDF, so we can have them reissued for members.
Thank you. Anyone speaking against the motion? No? Put the motion. All those in favour? Carried unanimously. Moving on to the finance report for January 2018. Moved by Councillor Telfer. Seconded. Councillor Velescu. Councillor Telfer, do you wish to talk?
Asset sustainability reserve, and I note that we will end up with about 5 million in the asset sustainability reserve and open space. Does that create any concerns given the quarantine funds of 16 million?
Through the chair, look, what we're actually portraying there is part of the funding that we've starting to incorporate into building the 17-18 budget and or the 18-19 budget, 19-20 budget. So those funds that we've talked about in forums are actually quarantined within those figures there. So they are figures, the 3.9 million in the ASR reserve and the 5.5 overall, they're absolutely, they're not being touched at the moment. So all the items like that we've discussed, say, around funding from reserves in next year's budget are perfectly in that quarantine funds line. So with that level of reserve funding still sitting there, I think we're quite comfortable with where it's at, really. And that excludes the 2 million, which is actually being quarantined for emergency fund as well.
Questions, is it? Councillor Hutchinson, then Councillor Crossland.
Thank you, Your Worship. My question is relating to page 99. We are listing grants and subsidies as a debt almost, a non-current liability, asset, whatever we want to call it. But the point is, are we saying that at a certain date where we were expecting to receive that money and we still haven't received it? And were we promised as part of the grant to receive it at that point and then we haven't received it? I just want to clarify what we mean there when we're starting to class stuff 60 days out.
Well, correct. When we're in receipt of grant funds, we have to actually issue an invoice to the state body or whoever's going to issue the funding. So we will go about issuing that invoice and then we will collect that as part of that. So if it's not paid within the 30 or 60 days, they will go through their process to verify our invoice and all that sort of stuff. So we just record it as a debt, but obviously it'll be paid. There shouldn't be any worries about it.
Councillor Crossland and then Councillor Hull.
Thank you. Just scrolling back. My question relates to page 93, the variation notes. It's probably a follow-on from Councillor Hutchinson's question in, is that what's happened with the letter D of the revenues regarding the Halitcove Beach Tennis Club and Trott Park Tennis Club? Is that grant funding we're waiting for? Is that the unfavourable 270K?
Through the chair, the funds do relate to funding that I'm not 100% sure if that's grant funding or contribution from the clubs, but that the capital works haven't actually been done yet, so obviously as part of that project the funds will be received, will do the work, so there's no expenditure on those projects as yet either.
Through the chair, just to confirm what Mr. Barmore said is quite right, so the contributions that we're getting from those boards.
Councillor Hull was next.
Madam Deputy Mayor, we're actually at a critical point in terms of these reports. As you'll see, that we're bang in the middle of the financial year. And Well, pretty close. Close enough. With the exception of one or two of these graphs, they're all significantly below where we should be in terms of, and I'm looking at the overruns. It's all very well, and I'll go back to this point, it's all very well for us to set a budget and give expectations, but if they're not carried out, it's a lot to do about nothing. And it worries me that, with the exception maybe public toilets, all the others, maybe open space and wetlands, all the others are below par in terms of where we should be at this time of the year. So can I ask, will there be a substantial improvement in this going forward? I understand with street trees, obviously you're going to plant those in the wetter times of the year for good reason, but can I get some reassurance that I won't be actually pointing out the errors in our ways in May of this year?
Through the Chair, I can answer that. We've spent quite a few hours already this week talking about the issues we've got with especially four asset classes. Drainage, which is well behind the anticipated schedule. Curb and water table, which hasn't even begun, because of issues with the consultant that was working with us to get the work done. Streetscapes and sports facilities and courts, and that includes the car parks that we've got down to do. We're working hard to get it there. We're worried, but I'm getting assurances that we will get most of those works done by the end of the year. But I share the concerns of Councillor Hull.
Relevance is, Madam Deputy Mayor, there's no point in us taking a rate from our residents on the basis that we're providing services and amenity and we're not actually spending that rate money.
Correct.
If we continue on this basis, maybe we could actually have a zero rate rise forecast. Now, if you can see where I'm coming from, I don't want to go down that track, but if we're not going to spend the monies and just keep putting it in the corner somewhere, that's not a good outcome for our community. So it's about keeping rates low and delivering.
Can I just respond to that? We've got a requirement under our asset plan to renew these assets and get the works done that we've actually planned, so the intention is to spend that money and get the work done, but there have been some glitches obviously, which is very, very clear in some of the graphs, especially those four classes.
Right, Councillor Gard, then Pryor and Hutchinson.
Your Worship, my question was almost identical to that of Councillor Hull. I do feel that in instances like this, it would be helpful to have very much one-liner notations just to relieve us of any concern. One specific question I had on the tree planting, one of my babies, project, is that on page 96, bottom bar chart graph, there is quite a gap for each month, and albeit that we know that the tree planting period is mainly in the May to August period, but obviously it was planned for there to be greater plantings. There was some explanation further back as to planning to be stepped or plantings to be stepped up from April, but by the same token there is a gap there, and that gap has accumulated to a fair sort of margin of underspend. So just a brief explanation there as to why.
Through the Chair, I would point out on street trees that we're 50% of the anticipated works to be done, and I'm assured by our operations staff that that's going to be achieved. We're not concerned about the street trees, even though I do understand that it looks like that there's a bit of an issue. Those other four asset classes require a lot of attention. And we'll be getting it. I would point out as well that we'll be bringing a report next month on carryovers, and the anticipation that we have in the executive is that carryovers will be reduced from last year and again from the year before, because we're really focusing on it.
Councillor Pryor.
Yeah, it's a question probably along the similar vein. The graph at the bottom of page 94 is the capital expenditure. We appear to be trending a fairly alarming direction on that one, and that's because of the big four that you've said, is that accurate? And is there any invoicing issues in there as well, where we're a month late on invoicing works that we've done?
Through the chair, in addition to the four categories that Adrian referred to, things like the BMX project would be, you know, that was ideally linked to be progressing throughout the year. So $1.5 million in that. So some big projects, Edwardstown is probably not phasing the way we had originally planned it to phase, but that is progressing, that is moving along now. So some of those big projects would have impacted that gap there. As regards invoicing, obviously we're reporting actuals now. We don't only reporting figures that are, we have orders for, etc. We want to hold the actual numbers. So sometimes there is a bit of a lag in those invoices coming through for the following month or so.
Yeah, and that's I understand that. It just looks like there's been a couple of months of lag, which is why I asked that question. The capital works for those bigger projects, which are a little delayed. I don't know how we're going to go. Are we going to try and pull them back into line by the end of the year, or are we just going to wear those?
Through your worship, the big ticket items like the road construction, we outsource nearly all of that road work. In fact, I think 99% of it. And we need to get down there actually on the job and working, and there's some significant effort being put into that to get us back on track with the works that we've got planned. So road construction is something like $6 million worth of work, and we are behind on it. So the big ticket items, we're going to get there. There are some of the others, though, perhaps those asset classes where this concern.
Councillor Pryor, you just talked. Sorry, I forgot to cross through. Councillor Hutchinson, sorry.
Briefly, and if we could, through the chair, thank you, Worship. Do we understand, could council understand in this forum the issues that we're encountering? Is it a capacity issue at a higher level? Is it where's the gap in delivery? Are you able to answer it?
Councillor, there's a couple of areas that Adrian's outlined that we've got those gaps. I think to start off with some good news, it's very pleasing to see the reseals is tracking ahead of where we need to be, and that was our big problem last year, and Matt and his team have worked very strong in that area. One of the challenges we've got this year is the delivery of our streetscaping, and you'll recall that we had moved into a design 1 year, construct the next. That was going along well until we made the decision, the right decision, to defer Alawuna because of the potential redevelopment of that area by Renewal SA. We had that all designed, we were ready to construct, and then we decided no, to put that on the back burner. So this particular year we have reverted to a design and construct for the 12 months, which has put a little bit more pressure on us. I'm really pleased to advise that the Finnis contract got let last week. And I've been assured by our engineering people that they're mindful of the June 30 deadline to hit that. So we are a couple of months behind in streetscaping, there's no doubt about that. I can't shy away from that fact, but we are doing our best to make up for ground. So there's a couple of extra reasons that have snuck up. Adrian's already mentioned about the curb and water table. We had a provider that just didn't provide. We had to terminate that contract and bring in a new consultant to deliver that work. And that's put us behind on that particular area.
Councillor Telfer, would you like to close?
No, sorry.
I put the motion. All those in favour? Carried unanimously. Okay, we move on. And we've now gone to matters raised by members, motions with notice. Now, this is a motion that was put by Councillor Kerry. I will look to see if there is anybody else who would like to move that motion. Councillor Westwood, do we have anyone?
I don't wish to move the motion. I'd just like to note that Councillor Kerry was going to withdraw this motion verbally, so I'll just leave that as advice.
I don't think you're able to do that for him.
I'm just mentioning it, that's all.
We'll leave this motion then until the next meeting. And the only other thing we have there is a question with notice. The Rajah Reserve, and we don't have any questions without notice or motions without notice.
So, I'm closing the meeting at 2020.